Well, you heard it, Governor Andrew Cuomo's 2018 State of the State Address here on WAMC, and Ray Graff with you on a special edition of Vox Pop. We'll get some reaction to the address. Joining us in the studio today, WAMC's Alan Shartok, Blair Horner of the New York Public Interest Research Group, and Morgan Hook, a communications specialist who has worked for SUNY, and Governors David Paterson and Elliot Spitzer. We will have time to take a call or two, maybe three. Give us a call if you wish. 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. We heard the governor call for criminal justice reform, election reform, changing the income tax structure, clean energy, fighting sexual harassment, passing the DREAM Act. But Alan Shartok, I suspect the big headline tomorrow will be economic civil war, the plan to sue the federal government over the GOP tax overhaul.
Well, my very good colleagues on the bench here made it clear they weren't exactly sure that he was running for president. And that's what I said, huh? Listen to the end of the speech, and you heard the anti-Trump. No two ways about it. Mobilizing it, and everything he said was right. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, this was the opening of the not only the gubernatorial campaign, but the presidential campaign. This is a guy who is calling people basically to emotional arms, anyway, and saying we have to fight this guy. And he may not have used the word Trump, but that's what this was all about. And I think, frankly, it was a brilliant exposition.
Blair Horner, he did mention the name Trump
at the very end. That's right. That's exactly right. People were speculating as to whether or not the T word would come out of his mouth.
I may have been sleeping at that point. No, but I actually thought it was a very strong performance at the end.
Yeah, I thought at the end you could see he was rattling the Democratic Party saber. He spoke for a little over an hour and a half. It looked like about an hour of it was focused on the three major themes as he identified them in terms of threats, the issue of discrimination, of threats. He talked about terrorism and threats to the vote. And then the last part was really on the federal threat. The way I sort of clocked it, it looked like the federal threat got all the time of the other two combined, and he really focused. I was surprised that he ended up focusing so much time on the threat facing New York from the federal government and didn't really lay out anything in terms of sort of big picture national policy responses. It was more sort of counterpunching what the feds were doing.
Morgan Hook, what struck you?
Yeah. Excuse me. Sorry about that. That's actually what struck me, is I expected more sort of grandstanding, more sort of national grandstanding on this. But it was a lot of New York meat and potato issues. He's talking about the Long Island Railroad. He's talking about, for however many years we've been talking about replacing Penn Station. He spent some time on that. I thought that the thing that was most ambitious was this, as Blair just mentioned, suing the federal government over the tax plan, but then also completely revamping the way we do taxes in New York. I'll be very curious to see how they intend to go about doing that and what kind of response we get from the legislature on that. I mean, conceivably, they could do something like that if they get support from the legislature. I'll be curious to see where Republicans in the Senate stand on something like that.
Can New Yorkers take another change like that after the federal change is the question.
Well, I mean, the idea, I mean, to just pick up on Morgan's point, is to shift the burden essentially from the property tax, which is subject to this federal tax overhaul, and put it more on payroll. And that has huge implications. And New York State has the shortest period of time between when a governor introduces his budget and when the legislature has to act on it, 3 months. And it seems to me like a very steep mountain to climb to overhaul the state's tax code in that short period of time. So.
Yeah, but Blair, you would agree, would you not, that...
Yes, sir.
No, wait until he says...
Oh, sorry. I forgot where I was.
You would agree, would you not, that as far as governors and legislatures go, this guy has an awful lot going for him on both sides of the aisle.
Yeah. I mean, he has immense institutional power. This executive in New York is one of the most powerful in the country. And so he has a lot of ability to drive it. But when you drive massive changes without any meaningful public scrutiny, you end up with mistakes like which happened in the Congress just now when they passed these tax codes. And that's the thing I'm concerned about is when you talk about the sweeping tax code changes like he's proposed, or like he says he will propose, and we don't know yet what it's going to look like. You could all have all sorts of unintended consequences that could lead to problems down the road.
Our number here is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. We'll take a call in a minute, Alan, but finish that thought.
Okay, here's the finish of the thought, if I can remember it. This, his ability is not only institutional, Blair, in terms of his powers as a governor in a strong gubernatorial system, but also because he has been so mean to these folks, and they know he doesn't take prisoners. So I can't believe he's going to get. And you're probably right that mistakes will be made, but I can't believe he's going to get an awful lot of resistance to what he wants.
No, I mean, you know, the devil will be in the details because the budget is a big item. But you're right; he's a master at the trade. He's at the craft of politicking.
And this isn't exactly a legislature. With all due respect to the elected officials of New York State, this isn't exactly a legislature that is good at moving quickly on complicated legislation and holding hearings that actually produce meaningful results and produce meaningful changes to legislation. So in all likelihood, the legislation, the policies that come out of the governor's office are going to be the policies that, for the most part, get enacted at the end.
We are joined today by Morgan Hook, Blair Horner, and Alan Chartok. It is Vox Pop. It's a little later than usual, but let's take a call or two, 800-348-2551. We go over to Lisa in Oneonta. Lisa.
Oh, hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
And thank you for broadcasting that speech. I have pneumonia. I hope you can hear me.
Yes.
I have not been brought to tears in decades by a political speech, but this speech, I really think this man is the anti-Trump, and he's the antidote to my sickness right now. I actually got up and did some stuff. Thank you for broadcasting this speech, and God bless this guy. When he was talking about the prison reform and the bail reform, what a blessing we have in this governor, and I hope that we can support him.
Morgan.
Where was she calling from again?
Oneonta.
Okay. Outside of the Albany bubble. Okay?
Yep.
She is outside of the Albany bubble. All of us cynical Albany denizens who have been listening to state after the state, speech after speech. This was his eighth.
Yeah.
There's a woman from Oneonta who literally was crying listening to Andrew Cuomo deliver the anti-Trump speech. And that is who his audience was today, I believe.
Alan.
He was talking to people who are not usually listening to him, who are kind of not really paying attention to politics. We talked last year. He went and did State of the States all over the state, different places.
Yeah, that went over pretty well.
Well, here's the thing I remember from working in the governor's office is that there really is – there's a set of things that people care about in Albany. And then as soon as you go about 20 miles outside of the circle that surrounds the state capitol, there's a very different set of things that people care about. And we just heard it from that woman. She's thrilled with what she heard today. We're a bunch of cynical guys here shooting holes in it.
Well, I think Alan was crying as well. You were pretty enthused, weren't you, Alan?
I was. I thought, look, I don't like the guy, to be perfectly honest.
Nice.
But he
is. Tell us what you really think, Alan.
This was a brilliant speech. This was a brilliant speech. I've been getting phone calls here from and messages and people who thought, you know, it's about time. People really hate this president in New York. And he did exactly the right thing. He got right in his face and he put his fist up. And there are going to be an awful lot of people who loved it.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. Yeah, it's Vox Pop. Sure, it's 317, but what the heck? Let's take another call. We go over to Mark in Glens Falls. Mark, you're on.
Hi. I just want to say that I think we now have his 2020 presidential campaign slogan. It should be Stand Up America.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
I mean, what else would we expect if a guy wants to run for president? I was a little taken back when there was a certain reticence. You see, residence is where you live. Reticence
sure.
is what you don't want to do.
Right.
And there was a certain reticence, I thought, among my fellow panelists that he was really running for president. But, boy, when you looked at this thing today, your hair stood up at the end and you said, okay, this is a presidential speech.
It was a smart political speech for 18. It may turn out to be a great political speech for 20. But in a state where Trump is so unpopular, where Democrats have such a huge enrollment advantage, that the end of that speech was red meat to those partisans. That was I thought he hit all the right notes for what he wanted to do. I agree with Alan on that and Morgan on that. But I don't know if it's necessarily the speech for 2020, but it was a good speech for 2018.
I would say it was red meat enough. It was for liberal Democrats or just Democrats in New York. Right. They heard what they wanted to hear in that speech. But at the same time, it's not as though you could pull out a bunch of sound bites, especially even from the last part where his voice began to rise and he talked about the seal behind Donald Trump. And that'll be the sound bite of the speech. Yep. Right. But even he didn't. It wasn't him attacking Donald Trump. It was him talking about our better angels. It was him talking about rising up to something better, which, again, I think for Democrats in the state who can't stand Donald Trump and that huge enrollment advantage we talk about, that's what they wanted to hear, and they heard what they wanted to hear there. But if you go outside of that, it's not as though he, I think, deeply offended any Republican with that speech today.
Right? No. I think an interesting point, you talk about perspective. I wonder if the perspective from the Republicans on Capitol Hill will be, well, look, he's talking about changing the tax structure in New York State. We win.
Not necessarily, because what we don't know, and I think Blair alluded to this before, what we don't know is who is this going to cost? Who's going to pay the bills on all of this stuff? You know, he's a master when we start talking about paying the bills. He announces that he's going to build, 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 and build. He goes to LaGuardia, he goes to Plattsburgh, he goes to all of these places, I'm going to give you a new airport. He's not going to be the governor when those bills have to be paid. So he's brilliant about how he does all of this stuff, and he's not the first guy to do that.
Yeah, just to go back sort of our original point on this stuff, too, is the governor, if he has any concerns about 2018, at the moment, it doesn't look like a significant problem from the Republican side, although you never know. He is, I think, most concerned about a potential primary bid from the left within his party, and I thought he did enough today to help sort of lock that door down.
He hit some of those points, Blair, that you have talked about in your commentaries here, election reform.
Of course, we're nonpartisan. It's not the same thing.
Well, but you have done commentaries on these airwaves talking about election reform, talking about clean energy.
Yeah, but they were really sort of breezed through. I mean, there was when I was clocking it, you know, I had to really – I wouldn't need a stopwatch.
got the same amount of time as the Mets moving to Syracuse.
There was not a whole lot about corruption, for sure, in state government. That was not mentioned once.
All right, let's go back to the phones at 800-348-2551. We go over to David in New Paltz. David, you're on.
Thank you. Happy New Year's to everybody. Same and year. It was a great speech. However, I do feel that there should be a third party in the United States besides the Republicans and Democrats. There should be a third party, and the Republicans represent business, the Democrats, workers. I think there should be a party that represents the average citizen who is the consumer and the guy that has to pay the taxes.
Well, first of all, you know, I do think – I agree with you, David. But I also want to add on to that. I think that we should have a commuter line from here to the moon and back again, but we're not going to have that. What? And we are not going to have a third party. What happens? Look, the political science-y, what happens is when one or the other party sees an advantage of something that the people want, they include it in their platform. I didn't have any great sense, although he said it, that this is a redistributive speech about giving more to the poor. He knows better than that. And that's why he comes on with a cap on the property taxes and everything else. But he does, as has been said here today, have the potential of a left-wing challenge, although for the life of me, I can't figure out where that's going to come from.
So here's the thing I come back to. I get that we like to talk about the left-wing challenge. I get that, you know, 4 years ago, Zephyr Teachout, people like to say that she really gave him a run for his money, even though she lost 2-1, which is hardly a close election. Well, she did better than we expected.
Whoa. Well, she won every upstate county. What are you talking about?
She lost votes 2-1. And
no.
That's
New York City, I started today by saying that. New York City, they know the name Cuomo, but upstate, he did very badly.
Well, again, my point being, if that's what we consider a challenge, we're setting the bar incredibly low. It's not like he won by 3 percentage points. He won by 30. And what I want to know is, if someone is going to challenge Andrew Cuomo from the left, what are they going to run on? That he hasn't done enough to unify the state Senate? Boy, that's really going to get voters to stand up on their feet and go to the polls. Yeah. I mean, he talked today about election reform. He talked today about criminal justice reform. He is talking about doing things on sexual assault. He's the anti-Trump. I just don't see a whole lot of space for somebody on the left. Now, I will also – I'm a pragmatist too, and so I can understand that progressives, and I consider myself one, feel like he hasn't done enough, that he's given a lot of lip service to certain areas on the left. But for a statewide election, a statewide primary, I just don't see enough space anywhere to produce a real challenger who's going to be able to raise funds and have the name recognition to give this guy a real challenge.
So why would somebody run as a left winger from the left against Cuomo? Well, one of the reasons is you get a lot of name recognition. What the heck? Why don't I do it? Look, people want to run for governor against him. They're not going to win on the Republican ticket this year, with Trump in the House and all the rest. But you know, you might get somebody who just does it and embarrasses him.
Oh, I agree. You could get someone. I believe that we could have someone who does it, but I think that how much attention we give that person, how much credibility. I think the lesson for me, let's switch gears a little bit, but I think it's relevant. The lesson from the election of Donald Trump is that when someone runs for office, even if we think that person is a joke, we should probably take them seriously as someone who might actually be leading that office someday. And Donald Trump was not handled by the national media as someone who people credibly thought would be the president. So if there is a primary challenger on the left, my ask, my request to the media out there of New York State is, let's treat that person as though they might actually be governor one day and ask them questions accordingly.
We are joined today by Alan Shartok, Blair Horner, and Morgan Hook as we parse the 2018 New York State of the State address by Governor Cuomo. We have time for a call or two here. Let's go over to Lana in East Chatham. Lana, you're on.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to say that I don't know New York politics that well yet. We just moved here from Kansas a year ago.
Welcome.
But I can tell you this. That is the best gubernatorial speech I have ever heard in my life. And to compare what I have found just in the people and the attempts to do what is right in New York as compared to what we were seeing in Kansas, you guys don't know how lucky you are.
Oh, well, thank you for the call.
I mean, I understand that there's corruption. I've heard of corruption in New York. It's not the only place that has it. You can find it down in Alabama. But this guy at least knows the issues that he needs to address. I tend to be progressive, obviously. But he did a great job in my estimation, and I wouldn't work too hard putting down all the positive that he said today, because we need to hear something positive right now. And boy, did he ever give me my dose of positivity today.
That's all
I have to say.
Thanks a lot for the call.
He did. You're absolutely right. He performed extremely well today, and I don't think there's much doubt about it, except that there are these trials coming up. And it's dismissive to just sort of say, well, there's corruption here, there's corruption everywhere. Wait a second. These guys who were his top T-O-P, capital letters, top aides, are on trial with the potential of spending a good deal of the rest of their lives in prison. And I think to some degree, doesn't the guy who hired them, who put them in place, who allowed them to do this, who said to Tom DiNapoli, we don't want any pre-audits where we can catch some of this stuff before, doesn't that person get stained a little bit here?
Blair Horner, you've been silent for longer than any time that I've known you. 30 seconds here.
Well, I thought the governor did a good job. I thought it's the longest speech, State of the State speech, that he's ever given.
90 some odd minutes. Yeah.
That's right, over 90 minutes. I think his longest had been 84 prior to this one, the way I was looking at the various tweets. It's a long speech. He covered a lot of ground. It felt in a lot of places sort of formulaic in terms of the sort of basic blocking and tackling sort of stuff that you would have in a State of the State address. He had these big three themes, which we touched on earlier, the stuff he left out. But I think if presenting himself as the anti-Trump in New York is a winning formula.
Morgan Hook, last word, and then we'll have to close it here.
I'm not surprised by what we got today. I think he was a little bit more parochial than we expected him to be. But as we're hearing from the callers, I'm actually a little bit surprised by the callers, how happy they are. But we're hearing from the callers. I think it means something, the reaction we're hearing from them.
Well, I want to thank the callers for calling. And I want to thank Alan Chartok, Blair Horner, and Morgan Hook for joining us today. And this has been a special edition of Vox Pop as we took a listen to and parsed the 2018 State of the State address by Governor Cuomo. Support comes from Hadley Garden Center, Hadley, Massachusetts, locally owned and operated for over 50 years, offering indoor plants, garden seeds, and seed starting supplies, bird feeders, bird seed, and advice, HadleyGardenCenter.com. And Clear Yoga Rhinebeck, working to help develop strength, stamina, and peace of mind through the practice of Iyengar Yoga for all ages and abilities, ClearYogaRhinebeck.com. Thanks again to our guests today. Thanks to Zach Malloy for engineering this program so well. Colleen O'Connell took the calls. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. I do believe we have a gardening show tomorrow, which is just strange given the weather. But right now, it's news of some kind.